The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, October 7th, 2018.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ this morning. It's good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord, and it feels like fall has found us. But we do greet you in the name of Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we truly rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Father, we come now to worship you in spirit and in truth. Open our hearts that they may truly be open to worship you. May everything that we think, do, and say be to honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with that violent hatred they hate me. O guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem, O Israel, O God, out of all of its troubles. The word of God for the people of God.
Over the past few weeks, I've had a lot of messages that contain thoughts and directions on prayer, praying, and the importance of prayer. And I think that we as Christians definitely know that we should pray. I think we definitely know that it's important. We definitely know that it is significant. But maybe we don't know always what to pray for. Sometimes we can get our shopping list and we can get it out and we pray about the stuff that's going on. We pray about maybe what we saw on TV. We pray about a friend that's in the hospital, and we go through our list of things, and we pray for family and the friends, and maybe we start out with the Lord's Prayer, which is great. It's a good way to start it. It's a good way to end it. Put it in there somewhere. It's the model prayer that Jesus gave us. But sometimes there's something that we neglect to do. How many of you have ever been a caregiver? Help take care of somebody, raise kids and grandkids and things like that. Then you've been a caregiver. If you've ever helped anybody in any way, you know that what it's like to give of yourself. And the reality is, we as Christians are in a way caregivers. We are to give of ourselves to others that they would know Christ. That's what we're called to be as those disciples. And the thing with a caregiver is they have to take care of themselves. And that's often where we find caregivers giving out, getting tired, getting sick, worn out, and then they're not able to care for the person whom they were caring for. They haven't taken care of themselves so that they can take care of others. Well, let's look at ourselves as Christians and look at some of the things that we pray for. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Not at all. Now, don't neglect praying for others. Don't erase that other list and just concentrate on the me's and the I's. But we should pray for ourselves because we need to. How many of us get it all right? How many of us got it all figured out? Well, let's look at David. David is at a pinch in his time frame. We're not really sure of when this time frame is. We are sure it's David. But he's in a pinch. There's bad things going on in his life. David has made mistakes. He's made mistakes of his youth. He's made mistakes recently. And he's in a mess. People are trying to kill him, which wasn't unusual for David, by the way. But people were trying to kill him. They were laying traps. They were just really trying to destroy the kingdom of Israel by destroying David. And let us remember that David is the one who is called a man after God's own heart. So let's look at Psalm 25 and see what we can glean from it briefly this morning. I told Sunday school class I'm going to do the die-dapper approach. I'm just going to be able to hit the high spots because Carrie reminded me and Alma supported her that I didn't have to preach all day. We did have communion today. So we'll try to move along in this. I won't cut it short. I think I shortened it before I got here with it. So let us look at how he begins. To you, O Lord. This is a personal prayer. To you, O Lord. To you, O Lord. I lift my soul. David is bringing it all before God. Not the fake pomp and circumstance, not the fancy dress or absence thereof, not the scars that we see from the outside, but he is bringing it all. The scars that are on the inside are often uglier than the ones on the outside. But David is bringing it all. He's bearing it to God, and here's why he can. Oh my God, in you I trust. It takes a lot. How many of you can count on two hands the people you really trust? That you could tell your deepest, darkest secret and never worry about being judged or have it laundered in the neighborhood. My grandpa said that you would have a really blessed life if you had one good dog and five friends like that. So think about it. David says that's who God is. I can pour it out to God. I trust God. David didn't say he was perfect. David didn't say he had it all figured out. David says, I can trust him. I'm bearing it to him. The reality is God already knows it. Well, Pastor, if he knows it, why do I need to pray about it? Sometimes you need to confess it. Sometimes you need to hear it for yourself, and I encourage you to pray out loud unless somebody's recording you or listening in, maybe. And then he says, do not let me be put to shame, and do not let my enemies exalt over me. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. There's nothing wrong with God asking you to have a strong witness, to not be put down, that if you're standing for him and standing with him, that your witness be bold, that your witness be strong, that your witness be successful, that it isn't a failure, that it isn't a mockery, and that it hasn't gone all wrong. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. Well, Pastor, I feel guilty praying for myself. Jesus prayed for himself. We can pray for ourselves and should. It is about that conversation, personal relationship with God. Now he moves on. It says, do not let those who wait for you. We got to fix something. Because David's going to say a little further down here, he's going to talk about, I wait on you. So we got to fix this. How many of you are patient when you wait? Come on, somebody's bound to be. Arlene, great. I have to be honest. I'm not. You know, if I make an appointment, I'm there early. And I expect the appointment clock to tick and my time, my name be called, you know. That's the way it's supposed to work. I think it's disrespectful if that don't happen. I mean, I really do. That's just the way I was brought up. But David is talking about waiting. He's not talking about man, this magazine was written in 2002. You could get something a little newer than that in here, couldn't you? Or, for me, all I see is Vogue and Woman's Day and Good Housekeeping. Let's put something else in there. Let's put a tool book in there or a wood-turning catalog. You know, something like guns or something, you know, like hunting. Well, thank gosh, in Wyoming, you got all that stuff most of the time. It's wonderful. I got used. Go back east and you'll look at all that other stuff. Foo-foo books. Foo-foo books. That's not what David means by waiting. He doesn't mean sitting around going nothing. David, I want you to get the picture here in the Hebrew is to wait is to be as a waiter. A waiter. Waiting is active. Waiting is active. You got to remember, God has shown David things. David's just wanting to be shown more things. So David already has a call to task. Every one of us, God has already shown us something. We need to be doing that. And as we're doing that, we are waiting on what? The next thing. You're waiting on somebody as a waiter. What are you doing? You're waiting on the food to get ready, aren't you? The appetizers to get ready, right? But you're serving them drinks. You see if they need anything. Appetizer comes out. You do that. Guess what? All of that's done. That group leaves. What happens? The next group comes in. Begins all over again. We as Christians need to be waiting on God. We need to be about doing his work. Here is where David would often get in trouble. And maybe we do too. David was impatient in his waiting. And he decided he already knew what God wanted him to do. He already knew what God was calling him to. And instead of working on what God had already called him that he knew he had, David would often branch out. He'd often go a little further. Folks, that's a bad move. Sometimes the best move is no move if you haven't heard from God. Well, Pastor, how do I hear from God? Prayer. Ask him. Seek him. David's going to pray some stuff that I'm going to encourage us to pray about. So I'm going to tell you, be careful what you pray for. You might get it. So if you don't know what he's calling you to, have you asked him? And have you listened? Have you asked him and have you listened? He calls us all. He doesn't leave any out. Every one of us, from the cradle to before the grave, can do something. Whether it's a smile, a handshake, a card, a call, a text. We can all do something for the kingdom of God. And he's calling us to it. So let's find out what David prays. This is what the title of the sermon is Everyone's Prayer. So verses 4 and 5 are everyone's prayer. Verses 4 and 5 are everyone's prayer. Now, I really struggled with this. And got up 3:15, 3:30 this morning because it wasn't all settled. Now, you need to know I've been working on this for a little while, and I've actually preached this psalm before. because there was some problems with the Hebrew. And Carrie will tell you, I was laying on the bed yesterday evening, and I was going back through that Hebrew stuff. That's painful business. You don't know how painful it is to go back through those dots and Q's and curls and right to left stuff, but I had to know. And I'm glad to say the New Revised Standard Version, the one Linda read from, the one I'm preaching from, the ones in your pew, has got it right this time. It's correct. About 97, 98% anyway, on this passage. Notice what David says. The first word of verse 4 is make. If your Bible don't say make, write it in. It makes all the difference in the world of what you're going to see here. Now, I got news for you. In the long run, whether it's make, show, guide, lead, it's not going to matter a whole lot, because you're going to find out we get to the same place. But what does make a difference is what David is saying to God. And he says, make me. In other words, David says, let your will be done, not mine. Make me. Use me. Mold me. But it's make me. He's yielding himself. This is the King of Israel. Make me. What is he wanting to make him do? He says, make me to know your ways. What does that mean? That's not paths. We'll get there. Ways is this. Floyd, you're a chiropractor, right? I don't know a lot about chiropractors, but I know they know a lot about us. Floyd knows how to do things that I don't know how to do. We used to have apprenticeships and understudies and things like that in this country. In the old days, I would have went to Floyd and said, I want to learn chiropractic medicine. And I would have learned Floyd's ways. I would have learned what Floyd knew. I would have learned how he looked at the patients, how he assessed the patients, how he decided what the patients needed, how he spoke to the patients, how he handled the patients. I would have learned his ways. David is saying to God, teach me how you see people, how you treat people, how I should treat people, how I should interact. Teach me your ways, not mine. God's ways, the Bible says, are far above ours. And we should be praying that God would teach us his ways, not the ways of the world, not the ways of popular society, not the ways that are directed by the winds, but the ways that are directed by God, not popular opinion or social agenda, but by the ways of God. Folks, we've got away from that in the world today. Christians have got away from that today. We have departed from the Bible, and we've thought more about the TV news and all this other junk than we do what the Word of God says. We need to say, God, make us learn your ways. That's a harder prayer, isn't it? God, I yield myself. Now, if you pray that and you say, God, make me, he's going to answer your prayer, and he's going to get you there. And that might be a little bumpy, because you're going to have to learn his way, not yours, his. And then he says what? Teach me your path. In other words, teach me the way that I should go. Teach me the way that I should live. Teach me the way that I can find where it is, that I might not be lost. Teach me your path. I want to have the same heart that you have and the same goal that you have. Don't worry, David tells us what that is in a minute. So we should pray for those two things, that we would learn his ways and seek his will, his goals for our lives and for our communities and our families. Because his will and his way will never lead you into sin, will never cause you to legitimately and intentionally hurt anyone in your life, but lift them up. It'll require you to forgive. It'll require you to turn loose of some stuff. It'll require you to love the loveless. It'll challenge you. But God is with you. God, to teach somebody in that apprentice thing means you are with them. You are with them. Floyd, could you teach chiropractic medicine to somebody that you never saw? How effective would they be, you think? Take a long time. But what if they're with you every day? Be a little better, wouldn't it? Yeah, the subtleties, the little things. How many of you have ever watched somebody do something and they made it look so easy? And then when you went to do it, YouTube's famous for that. Have you watched? They can do more in a 5-minute video. When you set out to do that, it takes you 2 hours. What you don't realize is they edited for a week before they posted it. In our lives today, we need to learn God's way and follow God's will, His path, so that we won't be lost. So what are they? What is God's way and what is God's path? Here's the answer. Let's look at it. Be mindful of your mercy. David says, remember God, you're merciful. David says, I just need to remind you that. He's telling us about God. And he says, and of your steadfast love. Now, just remember, mercy and steadfast love. God, I want to tell you that. And I want to tell you, they've always been there. That's who you've always been. And you say that I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So, God, you just need to know that. So now don't remember the sins of my youth. He said, you know, how many of us would like that stuff just washed away? How many of us have never made a mistake or done something we were ashamed of? How many times has that very thing that we did, that we were ashamed of, caused us pain and agony that caused us to change and not want to do it again? Really, I mean, honest and truly. Do you know one of the most painful things I've done in the...
Is God, make me to know your ways and teach me your paths. I think, borrow a cliche here, what the world needs is a little more love, care, concern, compassion, forgiveness. That doesn't mean anything goes, but it means anything can be forgiven. That's what God does. It calls us out of it, calls us to change, helps us to change through steadfast love, that we would know His way and His path. May that be our prayer. May that truly be our goal. Don't leave off the list, but don't leave yourself out. Amen. It's bad enough.
Our hearts to come before the Lord's table. Just in a moment of silence, reflect on where you have been. Reflect on your prayer. Reflect on God's work in your life. Reflect now on David's prayer, and may it be ours. God, may you teach us your ways and show us your paths. In Christ's name, amen. May God go with you, bless you, and fill you with His grace, power, and mercy. May we go to know prayer as our friend, as our strength, as our connector with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may we truly go in God's grace, in God's mercy, and with God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.